Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Exodus chapter 37. Exodus chapter 37, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And Bezalel made the ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold, within and without, and made a crown of gold to it round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set by the 4 corners of it, even 2 rings upon the one side of it and 2 rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was the length thereof and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of 1 piece made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub on the end on this side and another cherub on the other end, on that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims spread out their wings on high and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seatward were the faces of the cherubims. And he made the table of shittim wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. And he made thereunto a border of an handbreadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border thereof round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, and he put the rings upon the 4 corners that were in the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border were the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. And he made the staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes and his spoons and his bowls and his covers to cover withal of pure gold. And he made the candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers were of the same. And 6 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof, 3 bowls made after the fashion of almonds in 1 branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the 6 branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were 4 bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers. And a knop under the 2 branches of the same, and a knop under the 2 branches of the same, and a knop under the 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was 1 beaten work of pure gold. And he made his 7 lamps, and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of 1 talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of shittim wood. The length of it was 1 cubit, and the breadth of it was 1 cubit. It was 4 square, and 2 cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it and the sides thereof round about, and the horns of it also. He made unto it 1 crown of gold round about. And he made 2 rings of gold for it under the crown thereof, by the 2 corners of it, upon the 2 sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the apothecary. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. I told you last hour that we would think on the concept that everything was ornate, that it was put in its proper place, that it all fit together, that there was a purpose and a pattern. And I want to tell you that the moral obligation that we have today is the same, not the incidental or the accidental obligation, what our Puritan fathers would call the positive obligation, but the moral obligation remains. That in the worship of God, we allow nothing to enter into it that is not commanded, and also that we have a right kind of fittedness of every one of the ordinances that we partake of. And so I just wanted to talk with you for just a moment about our worship service and then end with the typology here that we see. And so a worship service, let's take it maybe a little bit out of the personal, just a worship service, well, it ought to fit together. It ought to fit together with those components that our Lord has set forth. And it ought to progress from beginning to end. Just as there was a progression, what was the first thing that you saw when you entered in to the temple or the tabernacle court? Well, the first thing you saw was a separation wall, right? A separation wall. That there was something inside and something outside. The second thing that you saw when you walked in was an altar. The third was a laver. The fourth was a tent. Open the door of that tent, there was a progression going in to the Holy of Holies. There were things that were set up in stations, if you will. Now keep in mind, I'm not talking about the superstitious stations of the cross or anything silly like that. But I am talking about how a worship service is ordered today, that it is a service that is made up of the components that God has ordained, well fitted together for a particular purpose, rising to a particular communion. And so what do? We begin with a call to worship. From there, we go to what we call an invocation, that the Lord, having called us to worship Him, would indeed, that we would have His presence among us, that those things that we do would be fruitful, not bare ordinances. We invoke Him to bless in the ordinances of worship. The third thing that we do, and the order of some of these things is movable, but not all of them, is we offer the Lord praise. We sing praise to Him in that third movement of the worship service. And in that, what happens is we are thankful to the Lord that He has called us and that He has promised to dwell among us. That invocation, that we have good hope that the Lord will dwell among us and will make viable these means for our spiritual growth and grace because of His promises. And so when we invoke His presence, it's not a bare hope. It's a hope based on His promise. And for that, we praise Him. We sing to Him. Then we have the time in our worship service where we confess the law of God. And